It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Food Friday, we'll learn the best ways to make barbecue chicken for your next backyard cookout with the help of Barbecue Hall of Famer and friend of Central Time, Meathead. First, the latest data from the State Department of Health Services says infant mortality rates among African Americans are more than double the state average. The department is also now seeking public input on how to spend a nearly $15 million settlement from e-cigarette manufacturer Juul Labs. We have the DHS secretary designee with us for a look at those issues, along with health advisories, budget reaction, and the state of the opioid epidemic here in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the Health Services Department Chief? How should the state spend its resources to lower infant mortality? Have you seen the impact of the opioid epidemic in your own community? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kirsten Johnson heads the State Department of Health Services. Secretary Johnson, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for having me.
It's been just about 5 months now since Governor Evers appointed you to head that agency. What are your impressions now that the early days are past you?
That's a great question. I'm going to say that it's still early days. DHS is a very large agency, and you know, I've spent the last few months really learning sort of the depth and the breadth of our work. Certainly, we've been deep into the budget negotiations and you know, it's been really fascinating, but I think my first impressions really are that there's a tremendous team of smart and really dedicated staff at DHS who are doing just great work to keep Wisconsinites healthy.
Let's do a little civics 101. What does DHS do? What's the scope of the job there?
That's a great question, too. So a number of things. We have the Division of Public Health. So pre-pandemic, I think many people didn't know what public health did or where public health lived, but you know, we have local public health departments across the state and counties and cities and municipalities, but DHS also has a Division of Public Health that works closely with those health departments. We also have the Division of Medicaid Services, so that's Medicaid. All of Medicaid lives within DHS. We also have DCPS, which really is focused on behavioral health, and we have 7 different facilities across the state to help stabilize people who may be in crisis. And then we also have DQA, which is quality assurance for nursing home, long-term care, assisted livings, et cetera. So it's a very large agency. And then in addition, you know, we have our own legal counsel team. We have the Office of Inspector General to really look into fraud and abuse in many of our in programs that are operated out of DHS. But it's a very large agency. It's 6,400 staff.
Talking to Kirsten Johnson, Secretary Designee of the State Department of Health Services. You can join in with your questions about health and public health issues in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Secretary Johnson, let's focus in now on some different aspects of health issues here in Wisconsin. I mentioned we had that DHS report on infant mortality rates, a big disparity, especially facing African Americans. Can you talk about what the DHS report found and what's driving some of those differences when it comes to infant mortality?
No, absolutely. This report wasn't surprising for any of us who've been working in this space for a long time. You know, and having come from the city of Milwaukee as a health commissioner, I know this data well, and it is really heartbreaking. But I think there are a number of factors that contribute: lack of access to care, disinvestment in our Black and Brown communities throughout the state. You know, pre-existing and chronic disease and racism and how it drives stress and the impact that it has on women during childbearing and when they're pregnant. So there's a number of factors that drive our really significant disparities around infant mortality in Wisconsin.
There are a lot of pieces to that puzzle. From the perspective of the state's Department of Health Services, what are some of your priorities to help tackle this problem?
Well, I think one of the things I was really excited about to see in the budget and hopeful was going to be included and was actually then cut was the postpartum coverage for Medicaid-eligible mothers for a full 12 months after delivery. It's currently 60 days in Wisconsin, where over 40 states have implemented or plan to implement in the coming months the full 12-month coverage. And Again, it was introduced in the budget and was cut out. I'm very hopeful that it will be going to be introduced as a bill and will pass the legislature. It has bipartisan support. I think that's the first step to getting women the coverage and access to care that they need and that really sort of vulnerable time in their lives after giving birth.
Let's stay with that state budget for a minute. What are some other things that you were happy to see make it through, items on your wish or hope list, maybe that didn't come through that you're hoping for future action on?
Sure. So I think, you know, overall, there were some great wins. Thinking about investments in safety net programs like Food Share, the increase in Medicaid reimbursement for our healthcare providers and healthcare partners and nursing homes, improving access to mental health and behavioral health care, investments in the healthcare workforce. I think those are all real wins and very meaningful for access to care in the state of Wisconsin. I think, again, like I mentioned, the lack of extension of postpartum coverage for Medicaid eligible mothers. I think the other, which is sort of, we all know this, but the lack of expansion of Medicaid, which left $1.6 billion in state savings on the table.
Let's focus in on the workforce end of things. We've had conversations here on Central Time over the years about, you know, not enough nurses to do things like home care, nursing home care, things like that, all the way to specialties not available, especially in rural parts of the state. What are some of your priorities when making sure that there are people to do the healthcare jobs that people need around the state?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we've had many conversations internally and with many stakeholders about, you know, we can't make more people. So how do we incentivize the existing workforce to stay in the healthcare workforce? How do we potentially bring people back who may have left over the course of the pandemic? And then how do we engage our young people and make the healthcare workforce something that they're interested in doing? And, you know, we're looking at how do we increase base rates of pay? How do we potentially, you know, we have a number of pilot projects that exist out there right now with long-term care facilities. One, for example, which is paying people for five days of work, but only working for 4 days. So again, trying to be creative in ways that we can encourage people to stay and come into the healthcare workforce. But it is absolutely a need, and especially with our aging workforce or our aging population in Wisconsin.
Shifting to public health here. Now, one problem that I don't think anybody necessarily saw coming was having to have a public health reaction to wildfire smoke in Wisconsin. Multiple days of public health advisories for ozone or particulate matter. Can you talk about the state response to that?
I can. You know, we like everyone, we've known about the wildfires that were happening in Canada, and you know, part of this is just climate change and recognizing the vulnerability that we all are sitting in this space. But you know, certainly when the smoke came in, I live in Milwaukee. You know, it's particularly thick early in the week here, working with the health departments, working internally with our comps team to figure out how do we message to people to stay inside. And if they do go outside, to mask. You know, lots of kids are in camps and are outdoors. So how do we work with, you know, all of our community partners and organizations that are working with our most vulnerable aging population, anyone who may have breathing issues? How do we assure that people have the information and access to their resources they need, like masks to wear outside? And unfortunately, I think this is something we're going to experience. I continue to experience over the course of this summer and future summers. So how do we address this long term is one of the questions we're asking ourselves.
Talking to Kirsten Johnson, Secretary Designee of the State Department of Health Services. She's with us for a look at a number of public health issues facing Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the issues we've already been talking about. If you work in healthcare, are there challenges getting enough people to work where you work in healthcare? Do you have thoughts on how you could bring more people in as either as CNAs or doctors or specialists in your community? Do you have trouble finding the kind of care you need in your part of the state? What would help you in future outbreaks of wildfire smoke here in Wisconsin? Let us know what you saw in your neck of the woods. And coming up, we're going to get a look at state efforts on the opioid epidemic and fentanyl in the state. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How is this affecting your community? Has it touched your family? If you work as a first responder or in healthcare, love to hear your perspective on the opioid epidemic here in the state. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Kirsten Johnson, recently appointed head of the state's Department of Health Services. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about the many different things that department does, public health issues? What is important to you when it comes to public health, access to health care here in the state? And how have you seen the opioid epidemic, fentanyl and other opioids affect your community, your family, your work? If you work in healthcare, does your workplace have a kit on hand to deal with overdoses? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Secretary Johnson, a big public health issue, this opioid epidemic. Can you talk about some of the top priorities from your view at the state level?
Absolutely. I think our first priority at this point, I've been working in the opiate space since 2012 or 13, and we've come really a long way. And I think one of the things that we've been very successful about is just the stigma and being able to talk about it and being able to talk about what really works and what's the evidence that works for treatment. And so at this point within DHS, we're really heavily focused on harm reduction. And we recently funded a number of agencies to put out those vending machines that will have Narcan and fentanyl strips available in them. We are talking about other types of drugs that are coming onto the market, and what does the, sort of looking beyond what we're handling right now, what potentially could be coming down the line. So are there other drugs that we are should be aware of, and how do we really look at that supply from the perspective of, what can we do to prevent more overdose and death and save families and communities from suffering from more loss?
Can you talk more about that idea of expanding access to Narcan, the anti-overdose, or some people have called it fentanyl poisoning, that the drug to help people survive that moment of overdose? Talk a little more about those vending machines and the hopes for them.
Sure. So there's a number of different initiatives. We have a program called Narcan Direct, and you can just go to the DHS website and look up Narcan Direct. But we have funded and are continuing to supply Narcan to public health agencies, police departments, fire departments, sheriff's departments, and other organizations that are working in the substance use space. So they have it on hand and can hand it out to family members and people who are using, so that they have it on hand in case they do overdose and their lives can be saved. So that's one really effective way of saving lives. And it's also a moment in time when potentially someone is more receptive to treatment. So again, looking at ways we can invest in the access to treatment. There's a new website resource available for Wisconsinites called Treatment Atlas through Shatterproof. It just started last week. It was kicked off last week, but anyone can go on and find treatment in Wisconsin, near them, that is evidence-based and effective.
I've also seen calls for more access to test strips. So if someone's using illegal drugs, which we don't want them doing in the first place, but if they are test strips so they can easily determine, hey, does this thing have some unexpected fentanyl in it? Is that something we're seeing more accessible around the state?
We are. So in addition to the Narcan, we are distributing fentanyl test strips, and those were also available in many of those same vending machines. And another conversation that we're starting, just starting, is thinking about, are there other test strips that we should make available, again, to potentially test for other substances that aren't as well known as fentanyl right now?
Can you talk about the various partners you're working with on the opioid and fentanyl crisis? You mentioned, getting the Narcan out, for example, to first responders and others. Who else are you hoping to keep at the table dealing with this issue?
I think we have a pretty great network, but we want to keep everyone at the table and to continue to encourage partners to engage. So, like I mentioned, health departments and counties and municipalities, human services departments, nonprofits and organizations that provide substance use treatment or behavioral health treatment, physicians and our medical providers, pharmacies. I think anyone you can think of that could potentially touch someone's life who may be using a substance is someone that we want to have at the table. We have to be able to do this together. This is going to be a collective effort. I also think we need to do and have been doing a great job of talking to people who are using to understand what are their needs, what would be most helpful for them, especially in the harm reduction space.
Dr. Kirsten Johnson, Secretary Designee of the State Department of Health Services, looking at many health and public health issues facing the state. Still time for you to join in if you have a question or response to what you've heard at 800-642-1234, a personal experience related to the opioid crisis, someone in your family, your community, maybe you've provided Narcan to someone yourself in the line of work. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. On the issue of the healthcare workforce, we heard from Greg and Mequon, who couldn't stay on the line but wants to know whether there will be anything for healthcare workers and paid sick time. Greg says many healthcare workers do not have adequate sick time. Is that part of that workforce retention issue we were talking about earlier, Secretary Johnson?
Absolutely. And this is actually, I think, something that came up during the pandemic. We learned quite quickly early on that people were going to work because they had to, because they didn't have time off and they didn't have paid sick time. So I think it's critically important that we reexamine how we support our workforce, especially when, you know, we all have lives and people get sick. And we certainly know this after the last 3 years, and they need that space and time to heal and to make sure that they're taking care of themselves. And absolutely, thinking about what are those more robust ways we can support the workforce is critical, and sick time is absolutely one of them. Paid time off.
Thanks for sharing that comment, Greg. And, you know, post-COVID, I know I've seen, at least in other states, concerns that, you know, the COVID experience drove some people out of healthcare, the public response, the burnout, the strain. Is that a part of the story here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely, it is. I think we've lost in the state of Wisconsin almost half of the health officials and that run public health departments. And myself being one, it was absolutely exhausting. Nobody gets into healthcare or public health everyone gets into it because they care about people and they want to make sure that people can live their healthiest and best lives. And when the pandemic happened, we became the targets of vitriol and anger. And I think a lot of it was driven by fear, but that is a really hard place to be. You end up with moral injury when you took on a role or you've taken on a career because you really care about people and you want to do what's right. I think it's been hard for everyone, myself included. I'm hopeful that many of the people who've taken a step away come back because the work is so meaningful and, we need them.
Let's bring in a caller now on the opioid epidemic. Beth is with us in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Beth, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Beth?
Oh, I just wanted to mention about the fentanyl test strips that I had purchased some for free from Warp Corp in a town near us here. And I didn't think my son would use them, but he informed me a few weeks ago that he did, in fact, use them to test some illegal drugs that he had purchased. And, you know, they didn't have fentanyl in them. So I was glad that I got them. I just wanted to say that.
Thanks. Not every parent would go out and do that for their kid. What led you to go out and pick those up?
Well, I was obviously concerned about him. He had overdosed during COVID, not necessarily from fentanyl, but I didn't know what he might come across later. So I've had him for a few years, and he knew where they were, and he went and took the initiative to do it.
Beth, thanks a lot for that call. And Secretary Johnson, and good luck to your son, by the way, Beth. Secretary Johnson, you know, people have mixed feelings about these strips. Probably rather the son, in this case, not use the illegal drugs in the first place. Talk about the harm reduction element in that, please.
Absolutely. And Beth, thank you for sharing your story. I think it's so important as parents. I'm a parent of a 17-year-old son, to have very honest conversations with our kids. And all of us, their children are not using, but we'd also really like to have our children with us. And any way we can avoid injury or death, I think, is a path that is completely acceptable. And there should be no shame associated with it. And we have to do what's best for our kids. And if meeting them in the middle is making sure that they are using a substance safely, that's where we need to meet them. And certainly no parent wants that. But, kudos to Beth for making sure her son is safe.
Beth, thanks for the call. Ashley is with us now in Milwaukee. Ashley, hi.
Hi. I've never called in before, so it was a little weird for me. But I thank you for taking my call. And I did catch the show late, but I wanted to share that I was an IV drug user, heroin user, for over 10 years. And I'm now living in recovery. I have a year and a half. I'm actually driving to my job at a recovery center where I work. And I wanted to share something about the fentanyl test strips, because they hand those out at the needle exchange, right? And it's interesting because I would get, you know, my heroin from like 8 different sources, and all of them had fentanyl in it. It wasn't an option to not have fentanyl-free dope. And what the strips don't do is test the amount of fentanyl that's in there. And I just think it's important to say out loud that, like, always know there's fentanyl in the heroin. There's not no fentanyl in heroin.
Ashley, thanks. I'm sorry, we're just about out of time. I'm so glad you're in recovery. Secretary Johnson, some firsthand experience there in our last few moments.
Thank you for sharing that, Ashley. I think it's really important and a really important point.
Thanks for that call. Secretary Johnson, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Been talking to Kirsten Johnson, Secretary Designee of the State Department of Health Services, looked at a wide variety of issues facing public health here in Wisconsin. If you have questions on these health issues that you'd like to see the whole conversation about, let us know. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Coming up after the news, Barbecue Hall of Famer Meathead joins us again for Food Friday. This time, we're going to focus in on barbecuing chicken. You can get things started right now. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page with your questions, maybe your favorites, your number one successes or failures when it comes to grilling chicken. That's Food Friday coming up. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.